Let me lift up my voice. Cares are past. Home at last. Ever to rejoice. Amen. Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. There to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift up my voice. Cares are past, home at last, ever to rejoice. No wonder the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Rome and said, I am now indebted both to the Jews and to the Greek, to the wise and to the unwise. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith unto faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And then Paul passed the baton to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and he said, I charge thee before God in the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead. He said, preach the word. Be instant in season and out season. For the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine. He said, but watch thou in all things. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. He said, I'm now ready to be offered up, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there laid up for me a crown of righteousness, with the Lord the righteous judge should give to me in that day. I just want to see him. Look upon his face. Lord, he don't have to say nothing to me. Just let me see him. Oh, have mercy. You remember what they said in the Old Testament? His face was so they had to put a veil. Couldn't stand to look at that angelical face. Lord have mercy. I almost tell Brother Davis, give the invitation and we're done. Good morning. How is everybody doing? Some of you I haven't seen in months. And I see some of my 8 o'clock folks. I'm happy to see the 8 o'clock folks. I better see them. I've been starting. I said, well, maybe it's because I'm not here. But then they came in. And everything is all right. I felt good. I said, now I can preach without any reservation. I got 8 o'clock back up. Yeah. Those of you who are visiting who may not be members of the Lord's church, we say welcome. We want you to know that you are our honored guest. We're just so happy to see you, so grateful that you have taken time to come and to be with us this morning. If you're here from another congregation of the Lord's people, it is always good to see you. It's just so good when we can open God's book, study his matchless word, which is able to save our souls. And those of us who worship here with Brother and Sister Bethea, we're just always so good to see you. Yeah, it's so good to get 11 o'clock. But when you got 4:30 and 11, sometimes 11 just don't seem that excited. But nevertheless, we're going to give you what I brought.
Amen, brother.
And then if you desire to act accordingly, it'd be up to you. Pray for Brother Bethea.
Yes.
He's in God's country.
Amen.
He's in the great state of South Carolina.
Amen.
I can imagine if the Atlantic Ocean wasn't so far for Jesus to walk, he might have came across into South Carolina one day. And so nobody should go to heaven until they go to South Carolina. Because be more Pacific, Charleston, South Carolina.
Amen.
And get yourself some shrimp and grits.
Amen.
So when we get to heaven, we can tell Jesus they make it nice and good down there. So good to see you. Pray for them. Sister Dee Dee and Sister Loretta called me yesterday. They, where do we go? I said, well, Dee Dee, you know, take her someplace. They were out on their way out for breakfast, so good. Parents, your day is about to get better. The greatest day of the year is when the kids go back to school. When the boys were young and go back to school, Jeff, I take the day off. I tell my wife, we're going to celebrate. Yeah, they're getting ready to go back to school. And some of them is getting ready to go to college. And one of them is going to South Carolina. I told her, my mother, she ain't never coming back. She going to meet herself with them Southern boys. Who was that? Frankie Beverly and Mae sung a song that says, Southern girl. Yeah, but when she get to a Southern boy, chivalry is not dead in South Carolina. They open the door for you, pull your chair back. Where Brother Johnson? They don't do that up here, Brother Johnson. That's why y'all can't compete. You open the door and go in before the young lady. In South Carolina, they open the door and hold it open. Lord have mercy. Now, don't all of y'all leave here and go to South Carolina. And I'll have to answer the brother Bethea and say, well, they left. Where are they? At Azalea Drive, or Farley Road, one of them churches down there. It's just so good to see you. Thank you, Brother Davis. Thank you, Brother Keelan. Continue to pray for the family of Brother Terry Parker. The memorial service is going to be next Saturday, the 20th at 4:30 here at the building. And continue to pray for the Mets as he recover. And Sister Veal, you get email, and when the emails just give you great news. I don't like those group emails. Because you get 50 of them. But this week when I got the one, but Sister Veal didn't have to have the operation and everything. I felt like Jeff. Amen. Keep it coming. And it's just such a good blessing that God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Now, at 8 o'clock, I have them to read along. Everybody got a Bible? Yeah, let's just, Brother Keelan read it, but let's get everybody in here to just Matthew chapter 15, beginning there at verse number 1. We ready? Then came to Jesus, scribe. Hold up, are you all reading? Yeah, everybody read. I'm going to preach. Huh? Out loud. Oh, okay. Let's back this up. Everybody take their Bible out and read out loud with me. Is that all right? And then I'll preach the sermon along with Jeff and Brother Claiborne. Is that all right? Okay. Let's start this again. Matthew chapter 15, verse number 1. The school teachers say, class, let us read. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do the disciples distress of the elders? For they wash not their hand when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandments of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother. He that curses his father or his mother, let him die to death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mayest be profit by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have they made the commandments of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did the eyes profit unto you? With their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. But in vain they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of man. That wasn't that bad, was it? In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of man. In vain they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. The Bible talks about worship. And it gives us different types of worship. You remember in Acts the 17th chapter, when Paul got to Mars Hill, and he said he found these altars. And one of the altar had an inscription unto the unknown God. So Paul said, him you ignorantly worship. And then in Colossians 2 and 10, he talked about them worshiping angel, and he called this well worship. In other words, you worship and you did in the worship what you wanted to do. And then in Matthew chapter 15, he calls it vain worship. But thank God for John chapter 4, when he said that God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So there is something about worship that we need to understand this morning. But Jesus called this worship vain worship. Amen. In other words, if it's vain worship, there also have to be something that is full worship or true worship. Vain worship, in other words, it's translated in another text, empty worship. Empty worship. And see, I know that some of you are sitting there, have already preceded of what type of worship. Okay. But don't you bring to the text what you think it is. Okay. Let the text bring to you how we should worship. See, so many times, and I could say this with no reservation, Brother Ville, that I was one of those persons that when I obeyed the gospel, thought I understood everything they needed to know and understood nothing. Why? Because I had a perception of what God wanted us to do, but my perception was not according to the word of God. My perception was to what I feel. It seems to me. I think it should be. And then our favorite one, I feel it in my heart. Let me tell you something. None of that is of God. Because God specifically say, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither is my way your ways. For as high as the heaven and the sky from each other, so are my thought from your thought. So don't let this morning, Jeff, you can. Don't bring to the text your perception. Let the text guide you in the way we should worship. And see, oftentimes we come to the conclusion that we know what God's like. We come to that conclusion. I know God like this. I know God like that. And then when you go to the text, you find out that God don't like this nor that. See, what God likes, it's hard for us to obtain. Is that all right? Jesus walked across the sea that we call Galilee, went into Gennesaret. When he got there, scribes and Pharisees came to him. They couldn't wait. They wanted to ambush Jesus. Because see, all the time from the baptism of John up to this point, Jesus was showing them God in his fullest. But they didn't like God for the reason of having to have them to make a choice on whom is the message of God reveals. You remember what they said when they talked about John the Baptist? Jesus asked him, is it from God or is it from man? See, if it was from God, well, why wouldn't you do it? And if it's from man, then you're saying that John ain't the man. So they came to Jesus. Why do your disciple transgress the tradition of the elders? Listen to the question. They didn't ask Jesus, why did your disciple transgress the commandments of God? They asked the question, why did your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? So automatically, that is confusion between what the elders say and what the commandments are. One of the greatest dangers in the Church of Christ today is for us to apply tradition on the same level as the commandments. See, tradition will always change, but commandments will never change. And sometimes we get so wrapped up in the tradition until we think that the tradition is the commandment of God. And not only do we plant it here, but when another congregation does not do things the way we do, then we say, well, they not the real church. And then we come to the conclusion, when we don't like the commandments. We say, well, you're going to cause me to lose my salvation. Because, and you know the favorite one? If your brother sin against you, go to your brother. We go to him and say, by you stating that, you making me weak in my spiritual life. Well, if the Bible says something and man says something else, who should you follow? That's what Jesus, see, that's what they came to Jesus. Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? So then Jesus comes back. See, let me tell you something. When you come to Jesus with all of your concerns, make sure that your concern is according to the word. Why do your disciples transgress the laws of the elders? Watch Jesus. Why do you transgress the commandment of God? How did they do that? By your tradition. I'm going to teach you something this morning, and I'm not going to be long teaching you something, because watch how he says this. He said, why do you transgress the commandments of God by your tradition? What is he suggesting? He suggests that they had put in some tradition that is contrary to the commandments of God. And see, as leaders in the church, Tom, where people look up to as guidance, we have to be careful that we don't confuse tradition with commandments. Let me just give you one. I remember when I first came into the church, Brother McNeil, and they brought in a supplementary song book. Members was in an uproar. We don't need no supplementary song book. We ain't never had none. Y'all are turning the church upside down with a supplementary song book. Like the regular song book is inspired by God. If I take this book and I take this book, man wrote both of them, and none of them are expired by God. Then they said that preachers had to wear dark suit. And then all them preachers from Florida came in with their pink, green, and all just messed up the apple cart. Don't want the preacher to come because the clothes that he wears. Why do you allow your tradition? That's what Jesus' question was. Or the sisters can't wear pants. Or clapping. I struggled with that one for a long time. Why? Because that's where I was. You shouldn't clap. And then I start studying. See, when you don't study, you just mess God's service up. But when you start studying, and see, when you come to worship, and God has done something for you all week, brought you out, and you feel like clap.
Amen.
Who am I to squeeze your joy? And we watch a basketball game. And when LeBron James slammed, we are jumping up. Wow, watch that. We go crazy over a basket than we do with God, who brought us out of trouble all week. Who am I to squeeze your joy? And then look at you cross-eyed. Want to shake your hand when you start clapping. We don't clap. Sometimes the denomination church look at us like, they crazy. They say they're the church and they ain't no joy. As long as you don't come up here and dance on this table, interrupt my sermon. If God done something for you, somebody needs to say amen. But when you don't study, Paul says that they bow down on their face and they worship God. But we just sit down on our hands. Maybe God hadn't done nothing for you. You have nothing to say amen about. Well, I'll tell you. If God hadn't done nothing for you, then maybe you just don't know who God is. See, sometimes we look at it like, well, I did this all by myself. You didn't even wake up this morning by yourself. You keep winding those clock up and put an alarm on it and think that's the alarm waking you up. Because I can carry that same alarm clock to Woodlawn and let it ring all day. And ain't none of them going to get up. So, because you got up this morning and you able to breathe on your own, I just want you to know God did that for you. Is that all right? God did that for you. So watch Jesus. Why do you transgress the commandments of God by your tradition? Now watch, Jesus goes into the commandment. He said, one of the commandments is to honor your father and your mother. Now parents, you all gonna like this. I'm telling you right now. See, honor your father and your mother. See, when you just glance over that, you think they're talking about respect. Yeah, but no. That's in there. But Jesus is telling them, when you honor your father and your mother, when they get of certain age, you're supposed to take care of them. Say amen, parents. Yeah, you earned it. Jesus said, no, it's more than, I ain't never cursed in front of my mother or my father. That's just, you shouldn't. You think that's honoring? He said, but when they get of age, you're supposed to bring your father and your mother, and you're supposed to take care of them. And don't you ever get involved with somebody who do not want to take care of their parents. I don't care how much I love my wife. If my father called me, I'm going. Before I get to South Carolina, she done divorced me, got another man. And I still got my father. And my mother, are you kidding? This is the commandment of God. Now, those of you who ain't comfortable with the one you got, I'm not telling you to cut that one out. No, let me just get the sermon straight. Topic, get that tape, Brother Frazier. Brother Frazier said we can just leave. No, Brother Frazier didn't say that. Brother Frazier said when you marry somebody, you got two sets of parents, and you should honor them and bring them in. So that's what Jesus was. How can you transgress the commandments of God by your tradition? Now, let me just tell you the story, because, see, you need to understand. See, not only do we want to tell you what the Bible says, but we want to give you some applications in the process. See, not only were they to honor their father and their mother by the law of God, but here's what the elders say. The elders say, if you take that money and give it to the temple as a gift, you don't have to take care of your parents. Ain't that something? Jesus said, well, who told you that? You see, in vain they worship me, teaching the doctrine and commandments of men. So you don't want to take care of your parents? We're not going to make you. Just bring the money to the temple as a gift, and that will free you from, Brotherville, you got verse 6? Read verse 6. Listen to the text.
And honor not his father or his mother. Mm-hmm.
Stop right there, Brother Bill. Let's preach this now. When you don't want to honor your father and your mother, and you bring the money to the temple, you make the law of God of no effect.
That's right.
You know the kid that said, I can't wait to leave? I ain't never calling no more. My son told me, Dad, you and Mom can just leave me alone. Okay. Not gonna fuss about that. You all don't have to do nothing for whatever you got for me, give it. Okay. This one phone call I'm recording. And now, I'm gonna make sure he don't do a Donald Trump on me. Are you telling me now that we don't have to do nothing for you no more?
Yeah, well.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Please don't wake up in the morning and talk about, I didn't mean that you didn't have to do nothing. I meant that you don't have to do nothing today. No. When you fail to honor Father and mother, you make the commandments of God of no effect. Why do you do that? Because you are so busy honoring the doctrine and commandments of man instead of the commandments of God. Now, there's nothing wrong with tradition. Some tradition is good. The problem with tradition is when they make the law of God of no effect. I was talking to a brother this week, and he said, man, we got some problems down here. I said, what's up, man? We got contemporary and traditional worship in the church. Let me be more specific. In the Church of Christ, they got contemporary and tradition worship. when it comes to worship, God does not leave that to us. He already commands how we should worship. But what's happening, Brother Claiborne, in the churches, they allow members to get away with certain parts of the worship that members don't think worship is that important at all. Example. Remember I said? I'll just give you some illustration. Most people think that the communion is the sacred part of the worship. And well, we do too. We said don't walk, turn your phone off, do all of that. That should be done. Amen or ouch, whatever. Yeah. What did you do 15 years ago when you had to use the payphone? You didn't bring that into worship, sir. What is so important in your life that you can't turn your phone off for an hour? And if I go over too much, say, Brother Frazier, I can only keep my phone off for 1 hour. Can you end your sermon? And I'll do that. I'll do that. Yeah, because see, when the communion comes, don't talk, don't walk, and please, don't let your phone go off. What about in the middle of my sermon? When I get to the point that all I wanted to tell you is right now and your phone's ringing. See, nobody does this to us except us. So now when the next generation come in and say, well, hey, we need some music in the service. We got to make this thing lively. Y'all don't have instrumental music in y'all church. Yes, we do. We sing. Make melody. And how can you make melody in your heart with some drums? But because we have taken tradition and put it on the level as commandment, that's why the church is going that way. They said, well, we know we got to take communion on Sunday. So we'll start our contemporary service Saturday night at 11:30, and we'll just beat and play, and then at midnight, after midnight, we'll take communion. Why? We're meeting the communion on the first day of the week. That's all we need. Why? Because they think the communion is more sacred than the singing. See, what God gives us, five acts.
Yes, he does.
Some people don't like acts. So God give us five things.
Okay. Right.
You put whatever name you want to put on it that you should do in worship. And when you fail to do one of them, the whole worship is of no effect.
That's right. Tell it.
I'm going to give less this week because my kids are getting ready to go back to school. You see? I got extra bills to pay because we went on a vacation that we couldn't afford. My credit card already called me and told me that this is due by September the second. Now, the only person that not gonna fuss with me is God. And I want to spend some money. So I go to Brother Davis. I say, can we buy this? Maybe in March, October, but September. We got half. But then we got the audacity and the unmitigated gall to say to God, you know that I had to pay that bill.
Well,
and you know my heart.
Well, amen.
That's why God said, your heart is far from me.
Yeah, that's it.
And then we got folks that don't like the supplementary books. They're not going to sing because there ain't no music to read. When we got this one with the music and you still sing off key. So it ain't about this has no music. It's about you don't want to worship. I don't like the song leader, or I don't like the song. But see, the worship isn't about the song leader or the song. When we come to worship, this is where Jesus called this vain worship. When we come to worship, God is the only spectator.
That's right.
Every one of us are participant in the worship service. So now, if you think for a moment, after you've leave and finished worship, what do you think God think about the service that you rendered to him this morning? I didn't like the song. And that song leader, he go over and over and over again. And they sing them same four songs every Sunday. Noah, Brother Bethea, Noah preached the same sermon 120 years. And the subject, it's gonna rain. After he gave the text, he could have gave the invitation because he had nothing else to say. It's going to rain. But it doesn't matter how long someone repeat the same thing. If you don't want it, you ain't going to get it. So Jesus says, Brother Claiborne, verse number 8 for me.
And they honored me with their lips, but their heart is far off.
Say that again. They do what?
This people nigh unto me with their mouth.
Yeah.
And honor me with their lips. But their heart is far off.
Now watch what Jesus does. He goes back to Isaiah, the 29th chapter. So something they are familiar. They see these Jews know because they got the scroll. They know. So Jesus says, these folks honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Jesus, watch Jesus now. He said, with this, you honor me. But with this, it's far from me. Yeah. Now you know he's not talking about the heart that pumped blood, right? Yeah, he's talking about that the heart that you think with. That's right. He's talking about the heart that is governed, that governs the mouth. Because, see, all of this that Jesus was saying, he gave them the answer in verse 11. Yeah. So he just laying the foundation now. And he said, now, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. What's it verse 9 says?
But in vain,
but,
they do worship me.
Stop right there. Let's preach this now. But in vain, they worship me. Another translation says, with empty process, they worship me. In other words, they had taken God's word out of the worship, and they had put in man's words in the worship, and he calls that empty or vain worship. See, when you take something out of God's word and add your word to it, it's vain. Why? Because it's not the word of God.
That's it.
Amen. Read, Brother Claiborne.
Teaching for doctrine the commandments of men.
And instead of teaching God's word, they teaching the doctrine and commandments of man. Upon the first day of the week, the disciples come together to break bread. The only day that we shouldn't break bread is a week without the first day.
Amen. That's it. That's it. Amen. Teach it.
That's the only one. But you know what they said? That's a common meal. No. See, in Acts 2 and 42, that's the Lord's Supper. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And then in 47, it said, they went from house to house and breaking bread and having their meal. See, until you understand the difference, you think you can take the Lord's Supper any day, and you think you can miss the first day of the week. So then, why all of this stuff happens? Why do they teach the doctrine and commandments of man? And why does that bring restraint on the church? I'm happy you asked that. Brother Ville, verse number 11. Watch Jesus' answer.
Not that which goeth into the mouth.
Listen to what Jesus says now. Not that what goes into the mouth of a man defiles him. But that which cometh out of the mouth defiles the man. Now, wonder why would Jesus say that? You remember when Peter was on the housetop when the Spirit came to him and told him to eat? Peter says, not so. I do nothing defiled have I ever eaten. See, what man think is defiled, God said is good. I'm just exegeting the scripture. That's all I'm doing. Listen to Peter now. I have never eaten anything unclean. Now, who determined what's unclean? Man. What God made, everything God made is clean. So Peter, is not what goes in your mouth that defile you. It's what comes out of your mouth that defile you. So what comes out of your mouth? When you tell man something that is not according to the scripture is what defiles a man. You don't have to take communion every Sunday. You take communion when your heart is right. Or you say, well, why didn't you take communion? There's so much going on in my life, Brother Frazier. I just felt that I don't need to take communion till I get everything straight in my life. If God allow you to do that, you ain't never going to take communion.
Amen. That's right.
Because you ain't never going to get everything straight in your life. See, you're not taking communion because you got things straight. You think we take communion because we got things straight in our life? Man, I got sin just like you. And every time on the first day of the week, I'm taking communion. Because it ain't about me in the worship. It's about God. Well, I just feel he didn't leave it up to you. You think he left it? That's why he said, do all things in word, thought, and deed. In the name and the glory of God. Can you imagine coming to worship and you supposed to be rendering worship to God and you don't worship God? Or allow God to say that your worship in vain because you feel that something going on in your life that you don't need to take communion? That's why that brother's asked you. Do anybody need to repent? Why do you think God put it there just so we can kill 2 minutes of the service? No. In vain do they worship me. Teaching for doctrine and commandments of man. You can put it any way you want to. When you come to worship, gotta be preaching. Gotta be scripture. You gotta sing. You got to sing.
Amen.
How can you not sing in the worship service? And then you gotta give as you prosper. And you know what people say? I ain't prospered nothing this week.
Yeah.
Joe Brown used to say that's a mental impossibility. Yeah. If you live the whole week, you prosper something. You prosper something. You didn't have a flat tire. You had to buy a tire. You didn't have to get your car fixed. Your stove didn't blow up. There's a lot of things could have happened this week. How are we going to say we didn't prosper nothing? And then that's the only time we can have five $100 bill in our pocket and a five. And we can just go in there and pull the five out without. Or you give it and say, I really don't want to do this, but I'm going to do it. Not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. I would like to be in the position where I could just give $5,000 a week. Because you know what God has given me? If I can give $5,000 a week lovingly, I'm drinking from the saucer. Amen. My cup runneth over. If I can just write a check, $10,000. You see Brother Frazier in the bear fighting? Help the bear. Because he don't need no help. Can you imagine? And then watch this. Jesus says, except your righteousness exceeds that of the scribe and Pharisee. Now, they gave a tenth. Now, if I'm giving $10,000 a week, that's what I'm making. $100,000. You think I'd be down moved to South Carolina, have me. And then you got to take communion. Nothing in your life should be that bad where you pass communion. Because you think the communion is this vapor and this juice. This is Jesus' death on the cross for you and I, and God spare your life. Man, I can't wait to take communion on Sunday morning. Give me that communion and fill my glass up because I want all of it. When you understand what God has done in your life. I'm reading the whole apartment complex in Silver Spring just blew up. People in the bed, the lady in New Orleans stuff, and she was sleeping. She jumped out the bed and her foot got wet, water. And we in Baltimore. Somebody should say amen. That God watch over you and bless you. Oh, I went over. I'm done. Who's singing? Brother Davis. Listen. Part two. If you're here this morning. Not a member of the Lord's family. The Bible says faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Believe with all your heart Christ died for you and it was buried. Rose again the third day. Repent of your sins, confess your faith in Christ, and we'll baptize you in water for the remission of your sins. Y'all, forgive me for going over this morning. I just had a lot on my mind to tell you. If you're here and you're a member of the Lord's family, and God has blessed you, and you don't realize that repentance brings you back new. Y'all, let's stand right now. As we together stand and sing.
Pass me not, oh gentle Savior,
hear